All right, how many of you have had a good night so far? Yes? Have you learned anything from the Bible? Good. I'm going to give you 60 seconds. You've got to tell somebody near you one thing you've learned. Ready? By the way, if you don't do it, I'm going to bring you to the front and make you tell everybody. All right? Ready? On your mark, get set, go right now. 60 seconds. Tell somebody near you one thing you've learned tonight. That's great. God bless you. You drove 21 hours to be here? God bless you. Anybody drive longer than 21 hours to be here? Just anybody? Anybody? Good. Congratulations. You made it. You win the award. Lay down and sleep while I'm talking, all right? Good. How many of you think the person next to you actually did learn something? They really did learn something. How many of you are a little iffy on it? Ladies, you got to teach your husbands better than this, all right? We're having a good time in the Word, and we're going to have a great time tomorrow. I enjoy Saturday sessions. Last Saturday, I was in Chesapeake, and it wasn't a family meeting. It was evangelism training, and some people who were here tonight came up to that, and we had a wonderful time together. I just like Saturdays, and we're going to concentrate on a few things tomorrow. We'll have a great time doing it, so I'm saying that now just to encourage you to try to be back tomorrow morning. And you've got the schedule. They'll have a little light breakfast in the morning. And then we're going to jump into the Word of God and have a good day. So try to be here. And if you can think of somebody that's not here tonight that you think, man, that would help them, they would enjoy this, bring them with you. Call somebody. Put them in your car. Bring them. And that'll be a great thing. Well, let's take the Word of God and turn in the Old Testament to the book of Deuteronomy. Would you find Deuteronomy in your Bible? And some of you are saying, oh, brother, Deuteronomy. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Do you believe that? So God doesn't use any fillers. Nothing's there by accident. Everything in the Word is there for a reason. What does God have for us in the book of Deuteronomy? Now, we know that it's in the writings of Moses, and we're not people under the law, and we're not Israel. We're the church. We understand all of that. But the word Deuteronomy, say the word Deuteronomy, would you please? Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy means second law. Second law. How many of you children, your mother ever had to say anything more than once to you? Would you raise your hand, please? Let me turn it around. How many mothers here ever had to say something more than once? Now, let me just tell you how it was at our house. At our house, if my precious, beautiful, full of grace mother said it once, we were really supposed to listen. And if she said it twice, we had better listen. And if she said it three times, it was too late to listen. How many of you understand what I mean? When the Lord repeats himself, it is never because he forgot he said it the first time. When the Lord repeats himself, it's because there's something there he doesn't want us to forget. We are so forgetful. That's what this book is. You ever wonder why God wrote it down in black and white? Somebody said, I wish God would tell me. He wrote a book. Read the book. So everything in the Word is there to help us remember, to stir ourselves up by way of remembrance. So when you come to the book like Deuteronomy, recognize the Lord's repeating some things. It's like you say, well, I read that in Exodus. It's deja vu all over again. That's right, because the Holy Spirit is saying, pay attention to this. And this is really important. It was written to another generation. See, understand this. Just because grandma and grandpa knew God and followed God is not enough. Every generation must come to know and follow God for themselves. So Deuteronomy was given to another generation. Mamas and daddies have died off. And now this generation's got to choose what kind of family they're going to have. Are they going to serve the Lord? They're going to go into the promised land. What kind of home they're going to have? And I would say this to you, every family represented here tonight, you're going to have to choose for yourself. You're going to have to decide what kind of family you're going to have, what kind of future you're going to have, what kind of faith in God you're going to have. And my recommendation is, let's find out what God says and do that, because God's way is always right. So when you come to Deuteronomy chapter 6, you come to a classic passage. It is the passage where God explains to parents how they're supposed to direct their own children, and to the children what they're supposed to do with it. Let's read a little bit. Look at Deuteronomy 6, beginning in verse number 3. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Doesn't that sound nice? Wouldn't we love to listen to live in the second part of that verse, in the land flowing with milk and honey? The problem is this: everybody wants the product and nobody wants the process. We're living in a fast food, Instagram, have it now society where everybody thinks I can just get it right now. Listen to me, there is no shortcut to God's blessing. You want the blessing of God? You got to have it God's way. So there's a prescription here. There's some very practical things. In fact, when I finish, you're only going to remember four words. And I'm content with that because they're not my words, they're God's words. They're all in the passage we're reading. They're God's actual words. They all start with the same letter. That'll make it easy to remember. And when I'm finished, you don't have to remember my outline, you don't have to remember my illustrations, and you don't even have to remember my name. But I want you to remember these four words because this is what we all have to go home and do. This is your homework, all right? Keep reading. Look at verse number 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Basically, he's connecting two things: God's word and your family. That's what I just read to you. So this book and the way you live your life every day. This is not a sermon book for the pastor to use on Sunday. I'm sorry. This is not your Sunday school series for Sunday school class. No, no. This is your life. This is the roadmap for your life, for your family, for your future. And only when you connect your life to God's word and God's word to your life can you experience all of the blessing that God has for you and for your family. The pastor specifically asked me to deal with something tonight, and I appreciate him asking it because I love the emphasis. And it is this: we talk about having a devotional life. We mean by that that you ought to read the Bible and pray, and you ought to walk with God every day. How many of you think that's a good idea? But tonight we're going to take it to another level. And for a few moments, I want to talk to you about having a devotional family. In other words, not just you saying, I have a Bible. Yeah, I read my Bible. Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, I pray. Yeah, I pray over meals. Good. No, no, we're talking now about bringing the Word of God into the very fabric of your home, weaving it into everyday life. Not just Sunday, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. See, that's where things really start to change. You want to see something powerful happen in your family? Then don't limit it to the Lord's Day. Let every day be a day where the Word of God is in your home. How does that happen? Well, let's take our pen. You got a pen? I'm going to have you circle these words in your Bible so you'll see them and so you'll remember them. And the first word, if you want to have a devotional family, if you want to have a home where God's Word is working, here's the first thing you got to do. First of all, would you circle the first word of verse 3 and the first word of verse 4 and connect them in your Bible and in your thinking? What is that word, class? I didn't hear you. What is it? Tell the person next to you. What's the word? No, no, preach it to them. Tell them the word. Ready? Good. What's the first word, class? One more time? Now, I'm brainwashing you. That's what I'm doing, all right? But it's a good brainwashing. It's a washing of water by the word. The first thing you have to have is the Word of God has to be in your hearing. My dad said to me when I was a boy, he said, Scott, God gave you two ears and one mouth, so you will listen twice as much as you talk. That was not true. That was not why the Lord gave me two ears. But the principle was well taken, all right? We love to talk. We're not such good listeners. That's why when Jesus came along, he said, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. That's why when the Holy Spirit gave the last book of the Bible, the Revelation, he said, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Why? Because God's trying to talk to us. The problem is not God's not speaking. The problem is we're not listening. And how does God speak? God speaks through His Word. People say, boy, I would love to have heard the Lord speak. Okay, have you read your Bible today? Somebody said, well, I would love to have heard him speak out loud. Okay, then read it out loud if you want to hear it out loud. But the Word is God's Word. So if we're going to get the Word into our families, it has to start with the hearing of the Word. You need to read it every day. That's so simple. So simple. There's 1,189 chapters in that book. 1,189 chapters. That's a big book, isn't it? 66 books. How many of you think that's a lot to read? I wonder how long it'd take you to read all that, son. Any idea? Are you about an average reader? Would you say you're average? Okay, average reader, 70 hours and 40 minutes. Genesis to Revelation. In D.C., just the other day, they had a group of readers reading the Scripture, and they read it from Genesis to Revelation. It takes about 70 hours and 40 minutes. Somebody said, well, I'm not trying that. I wouldn't recommend it. You'll fall asleep. But I got an idea. What if we took 70 hours and 40 minutes and divided it by 365 days in a year? Did you know in 365 days, you could read through that entire book in 13 minutes a day? 13 minutes. Okay, how many of you have eaten for 13 minutes today? How many of you sleep for 13 minutes a day? Mm-hmm. How many of you watch television for 13 minutes a day? How many of you scroll social media for 13 minutes a day? I know I'm meddling now, right? How many of you are on your cell phone texting for 13 minutes a day? Interesting, isn't it? How many of you do nothing for 13 minutes a day? Okay, let me ask you a question. What do you think would happen if just the people in this room took 13 minutes every day and said, you know what I'm going to do for these 13 minutes? I'm giving these to God, and I'm going to ask God to speak to me. I'm going to tell you what would happen. God would start changing your life. Read it. And by the way, the hearing of it begins with your own personal reading of Scripture, but it also has to do with the way we listen to it. So, for example, when you come to meetings like this, don't just come. Come ready. Let me speak as an evangelist for a minute. I get sick of meetings. Someone said, well, that doesn't sound very nice. I'm sick of them. I'm sick of coming into buildings with people who are just there because it's time to have another meeting, and the pastor happened to announce that on the calendar we're having another meeting, and so we all just plop down and look at the guest speaker on the platform and just wonder if he can keep us awake for the next 30 minutes. Like, I hope he's got something fresh to say, because I mean, I'm tired. Let me tell you, you want to get more out of the Word of God? Don't let that rest on the preacher. You come into a meeting with your heart in tune with God, wide open to the Lord. You come in praying, Lord, use him tonight. Lord, open the Word to me tonight. Lord, speak to me tonight. I tell you, you come hungry after God, God will speak to you. You want the Word to change your family? Number one, the Word needs to be in your hearing. So read it. Have your family under the preaching and teaching of it. And if I may just add this before I give you the next one. This is not the time to miss church. This is not that generation. Look, Jesus is coming soon. We may be on the welcoming committee for the Son of God. This is not the time to start finding other hobbies to take the place of assembling with God's people. This is the time to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Be with God's people. Be in God's Word. Let God speak to you. The Word of God must be in our hearing. Number two, let's add another word to this. Come down to verse number five. When I stop, you say the next word. Ready? And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine. That's the word. Circle it in verse number five. With all thine heart. And he goes on with the soul and the might, but it starts in the heart. Every good thing starts in the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Guard thy heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. And then look at verse 6. And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine what? Circle it again. So number one, God's Word needs to be in your hearing. That means you're giving attention to it. Number two, it needs to be in your heart. May I say, that means you're giving affection to it. In other words, you're not just listening to it, you're learning to love it. Can I tell you how to learn to love the Bible? This is deep. You ready? Better write this down. Get in it. How many of you have ever been made to eat anything you didn't like? I'm bitter, Mother. I just want you to know I'm bitter, all right? You know the strangest thing? When I was growing up, my mother used to make Brussels sprouts. Yeah, Brussels sprouts. I hated those little baby cabbages. I hated them. And I thought, these were the cabbages that fell in the fall, you know. I mean, and she made me eat them. She made me eat them. And this is so strange. But all these years later, I love those things. Now, you got to make them right. You got to put enough bad stuff on them to make the good stuff not so bad, you know. But I love those things. You know what I discovered? You can develop an appetite for anything if you eat enough of it. See, our appetite's got to change. Our affections have to change. We got to start setting our affection on heavenly things. Let's turn the TV off. Let's get off the other stuff. Let's get in the Word. Let the Word get in you. You'll fall in love with the Bible. Even better. You won't just fall in love with the Bible. You'll fall in love with the God of the Bible. But the Word of God will lead you to the God of the Word. I love sushi. Anybody else like sushi? Yeah. How many of you hate it? Yeah, it's wonderful. And you know, my wife is starting to like it. Starting, right? And you know what? She started with certain, and that's pretty good. Oh, that's not so bad after all. And after a while, I like the taste of that. You develop appetites for things, but you got to get in it. You know what's really interesting? See, this chapter in Deuteronomy 6 about the Word of God is not just about information. We got too much of that. We got too much of everybody can recite everything. Everybody wins Bible trivia every time they play. Everybody knows all the answers. No. This is a heart chapter. For example, look at verse number 2. Fear the Lord thy God. Look at verse number 5. Love the Lord thy God. You know what fear and love are? Heart words. This is when the book gets down in the heart level. It's more than just something you dust off and carry to church on Sunday. It's in you, my friend. So, the Word must be, let's review class. Number 1, the Word must be in your hearing. Number 2, it must be in your heart. Number 3, let's add a third one to it. Come down, would you please, to verse number 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine what? Circle that word. In your house now. Come down to verse 9. Thou shalt write them upon the post of thy what? House. And on thy gates. Is God's Word in your home? You say, oh yeah, we got all kinds of Bibles. No. Look, if the hearing is our attention and the heart is our affection, then the Word here in our house is our action. In other words, have we learned to actually bring the Bible, the truth of the Bible, into everyday life? And if we haven't, why haven't we? Because this wasn't supposed to just guide parts of our life. It was supposed to guide the most intimate parts of our life, and nothing's more intimate than home life. Your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with your children, your relationship with your siblings. Like, all of that is affected by you taking the Word and putting it into your house. Imagine building a house and not thinking about what goes into the building. Somebody said, well, that's nuts. Nobody would do that. But we do it. We build homes. I'm talking about our Christian home without thinking about, am I putting the Word of God into this house? You need the printed Word of God in your house. You need a copy of the Scripture. I was on an airplane the other day with a woman in her 80s that did not own a Bible. We're sending her one, but she didn't even own a Bible. So do you have a Bible? Is it prominent in your home? You know, years ago, people had family Bibles, great big things, you know, and they would sit out in very prominent places. And somehow that's almost become like a thing of the past because everybody's got their own Bible now and everybody's got their Bible on their device. But there's something about the Word of God being prominent in the home and throughout the house, there are copies of the Word of God. That's good to have the printed Word. But let me tell you something even better than just having another copy, because the problem with most of us is we have several copies, dozens of copies, but we're not doing anything with it. We've got to learn how to take the truth that's in that printed Word and work it out into everyday life and work it into our family life. Someone said, well, that sounds really great, preacher. How do you do that? I'm glad you ask. Look what the Bible says in verse number 7, because he gives the extremes of life. It's interesting, when you're still and when you're moving, and the extremes of the day, at the beginning, at the end. Look at it. He said, teach them, talk about them diligently to thy children, talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. So let's just take those four. That sounds pretty practical to me. Number 1, when you sit in your house. Now here's our first problem. Most of us rarely ever sit in our house. We're on the move. And I think sometimes we're too busy. If you're too busy for God, you're too busy. If you're too busy to ever pray together as a family, you're just too busy. If you're too busy to ever have a conversation about spiritual things, you, my friend, are too busy. People have asked me about family devotions. Somebody asked me that question the other day, and I'll just be very frank with you. We've never done a great job of family devotions. That surprise you? We've been hit and miss through the years. Now the kids are almost gone. But I wish I could tell you every day we read this many chapters and prayed this long. And no, we didn't. There were a lot of days we didn't do as much as we should have done. But I'm learning some things. I'm learning that when we talk about a devotional family, I say, I'm not talking to you about family devotions. Please get this. I'm talking to you about a devotional family. I'm learning that it is less about we had another service at the house and more about that as we sat and talked about things, the Lord and spiritual truth entered into that conversation. Isn't it weird that we can talk about everything but Jesus? How many Christians are here? Just curious. Okay, so you're a follower of Christ. We sit in our homes. We talk politics, ball, vacation, schoolmates, what happened at work, when the next vacation is, what we need for retirement, the new neighbors that moved in down the block. We talk about all of that. Seems perfectly natural. Spiritual things come up, and all of a sudden it seems a little awkward. Do you think it ought to be awkward for Christian people to talk about the person they love? This is something God's deeply convicted me about. Let me get really practical for a minute. Part of the problem, we never sit in our house. Families rarely ever have meals together anymore. I want to tell you one of the best things you ever do as a family, have a meal together. Just have a meal. And let me add one to that. Leave your cell phone in the other room. We had a little rule at the house. And you know, even now when the kids are all home, it's wonderful to have everybody around the same table. Like I soak it in more now than I ever have at this juncture in my life because it doesn't happen all the time. But we had a little rule when we had our family meal around the table, you weren't allowed to bring your mobile device to the table. Leave it in the other room. You know why? Because after a while, everybody's looking at that and nobody's talking to each other. Sit in your house, turn the television off for a little while, and actually talk to the human beings that live under the same roof with you. That is such a novel idea. Isn't that amazing? And while you're talking to them, talk about God. I remember one night we were having a meal together, and I got convicted. We had talked about everything. We'd sat there a long time. And I got convicted as dad. I thought, you know, we ought to talk about spiritual things more. And so just off the cuff, God was teaching me something. It wasn't that I was trying to teach my family. God was teaching me something. Off the cuff, I said, hey, let's do something. Let's go around the table. Morgan, you go first. And everybody go around and just tell me one thing God's doing in your life. Something God's teaching you, an answer to prayer or something. And honestly, I was blown away. I didn't do the talking. And we just went around and each child started expressing what God was teaching them. And it was different for every one of them. But it opened up a whole nother layer, maybe I should say a different depth of conversation beyond all the stuff we had been talking about. Because now we're talking about what really matters. Look, you bring Jesus into the conversation, he changes the conversation. It's wonderful. So let's talk about the word when we sit in our house. Here's another one. Look at it. When you walk by the way. You know what that means? Just as you go about your everyday duties, go from place to place. I have a terrible habit in the car. I like noise. Anybody else like noise? And it's just too easy. You got noise going. It could be something good. It could be a sermon. It could be music. It could be whatever. But I've learned something. When I've got my family in the car, it's usually best for me to turn the noise off because it's fascinating to me. We've had some of our deepest conversations driving down the road in the car. Any of you know what I'm talking about? Isn't it weird, like when things come up and how things come out? I remember one day driving home from work. The kids were young. I'd picked them up from school. We were taking them home. I'd had a crazy day. I had 1,000 things on my mind. And we're driving home, and I had news on. Not that I needed something else on my mind. I just, distraction, you know? And Morgan from the back seat said, Daddy, I want to ask you a question. I said, okay. And she asked me some question, and it was some deep theological thing. I mean, kids always do that at the wrong time, you know? And I gave her like a surface answer, and I thought, that will, no. No, little Miss Analytical, she was deeper than that. She said, but Dad, what about, and she goes a little further. And so I gave her a little pat answer, and that didn't satisfy her. And she pressed me a little bit, and I got frustrated. And I came this close to saying, we'll talk about that later. And it was like the Heavenly Father said to Dad, you're an idiot. Turn the radio off and have the most important conversation you've had all day today. I mean, God spoke to me in a very definite way. And I think sometimes, just as we're going about our business, things come up and opportunities to talk about God and what God is doing, and we're missing them. We got to get our heads out of the sand. We got to get our eyes open again. We got to bring the Word of God into our houses. Look at the list again. When you lie down, what's that? That's the last thoughts of the day. It's the end of the day. Could I recommend to you that the closing hours of the day should bring some quiet and peace to your home? Don't deal with heavy stuff late at night. If you got stuff to straighten out, why don't you sleep on that, everybody be fresh, and let's deal with that in the morning. Don't do that right before everybody goes to bed. If you've had a really hard day, and we all have them, don't come in at night and just vent and unload the whole truck on everybody else. It might make you feel better for about 60 seconds, but it's not helping them at all. Let the last moments of the day be moments where we think about the goodness of our God, His faithfulness to us. And that doesn't mean you have to have some long thing. We've done all kinds of things through the years. You know, we always prayed to the kids before they went to bed. For one period of time, Tammy challenged us, and we got started every night before we went to bed. We all had to share three things we were thankful for. That was good. I'm on the road a lot, and God bless my wife, kept home happy and things orderly, and I couldn't have done it without her. But we got creative when we finally had three teenagers and they all had mobile devices. We started every day a different person would have to share a Bible verse from their devotional reading, their personal reading that day, with the rest of the family. So you do understand that even family devotions are not the goal. The only reason you have family devotions is try to whet the appetite of the children so the children will have the devotions on their own. It's not for you to tell them everything. It's for you to make them love the Bible so they learn to get in the Word for themselves. So we started sharing some things like that just as we went along the way. And it was fascinating how God used them even to minister to us. And then look at the fourth one. When you rise up, what's that? That's the first moments of a new day. That's before you face everybody else. Tell you something really fascinating. Did you know the Jewish people believed that a new day started the night before? And they took that from Genesis. The evening and the morning were the first day. We would say the morning and the evening. No, the evening and the morning. So the Jewish day actually started at 6 o'clock in the evening. Think about that. At 6 o'clock at night, they felt like they were starting a brand new day. Somebody says, well, what difference does it make? Think about this. What would happen in our homes if from 6 o'clock on in the evenings we were giving attention to family, to God, to preparation for the next day, to things that really matter? Imagine how much better the next morning would be. Imagine what could be set in motion if we started like bookends on the day. Do you see it? Look at the verse. When you lie down, when you rise up. In other words, what's he saying? He's saying weave it into your whole life. Bring the Word of God into your house. Let's review, class. Ready? Number one, bring it into your hearing. Number two, bring it into your heart. Number three, bring it into your house. Number four, we skipped a verse. Look at verse 8. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine what? Hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Circle the word hand. Somebody said, what does that mean? I need to wear a WWJD bracelet all the time, or I need to... No, that's not what I'm saying. But let me tell you what it meant to them. Maybe this will help you. Do you know that God had them actually to print certain things and wear certain things as reminders of the truth? In other words, look, you're not carrying this around with you all day, every day. But you can have reminders. I just stayed in a house recently, and a guest house, and they had scripture everywhere. It was wonderful. And I thought as I walked through that, you know, that is really good. A generation ago, there was a lot more of that than there is today. But it's good for us to see scripture. It's reminders. Did you know that God even had his people? This is fascinating. God had his people weave a purple thread in the hems of their garments. Purple royalty. You know why a purple thread in the hems of their garment? So everywhere they walked and everything they reached for, it was a visible reminder to them that they had a king. They weren't in charge. God was. Isn't that interesting? You know what this thing about having it on their hands was? I love this. It's really simple. Everything they reached to do, the Word of God was to effect. So look at our list here. If you bring it into your hearing, that's your attention to it. If you bring it in your heart, that's your appetite or affection for it. If you bring it into your house, that's the action with your family. But if you bring it into your hands, that's more than just carrying the Bible around. That's the application of it. In other words, how am I going to take this and apply it to my life today? Look, there's a lot of truth in here. Can we all agree on that? Is it overwhelming sometimes? And I'm going to just tell you, for me, sometimes I read this and I think, I am so far from being there where I need to be. And the devil, the accuser, gets in my ear and says, you really blew it today. Man, you should be much further along on this journey. And if you're not careful, you just give up on it. Let me recommend something to you. What would happen if every Christian in this room started every day to get in the Word, talk about it with your family, bring it into everyday life, and then every day, here was your goal. I'm going to find one truth from the Bible today. Just one. One truth from the Bible today that I'm going to apply to my life today. And tomorrow, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to find one truth in the Bible tomorrow that I can apply, and I'm going to apply that day. Watch this. This time next year, if God lets you live and Jesus tarries his coming, you and I would be 365 steps in the truth, closer to being the people God wanted us to be. One day at a time, one verse at a time, one step at a time. This is what it looks like to not wait for the pastor to bring God's word into your life, but instead for you to intentionally, purposefully, individually bring the word of God into your hearing, your heart, your house, and your hands. There was a fellow by the name of Richard Baxter. Baxter was an old Puritan pastor. He was a great man, greatly used of God. Early in Baxter's ministry, he took a pastorate in a little village church. And he was so excited when he got there. He thought he was just going to win the whole village to the Lord. And he preached for 6 months and nothing happened. Nobody got saved. Nobody got right with God. Nobody got baptized. And nobody was added to the church. May I speak for all preachers and say, that is a lonely 6 months. Baxter started thinking, is something wrong with me? So he searched his own heart. He found himself to be right with God and trying to do it the right way. And he said, Lord, something's missing here. What's wrong? Baxter said that God led him to make an appointment with every family in his church. And here was the deal. He said, I will not come to your house unless every family member is present. Everybody has to be there. I have to have undivided attention for a few minutes. He would go into the home. He would get all the family members around the dining room table. And he did two things. Here was the first thing he did. He said, I'm going to go around the table and I want each of you to tell me how you got saved. Just tell me how you were converted. And Baxter said the first thing he realized in a hurry, he had a bunch of lost church members. He had a whole bunch of people who were in good families, but they weren't really saved. They weren't really born again. And I'm not taking for granted tonight in this room that everybody's been born again. I was preaching in a church 3 weeks ago on a Sunday, and a man got up from the back row, dressed, Sunday dress, Bible in hand, walked down the aisle, said to the pastor, and the pastor said to me, this man's been here in this church for decades. The man came forward and said, Pastor, I have never been born again. I want to be saved today. I'm going to look, we need some of the church people to become God's people. That's what we need. So number one, you got to have your own faith. Your mama's faith's not going to take you to heaven. Your grandma's faith isn't going to save you. You can stand in a garage all your life. You never become a car. And you can sit in a church your whole life and you never become a Christian. You must be born again. So that's where he started. Had a bunch of people saved. Then he said to the head of the household, whoever that was, would you bring me your family Bible? They would bring the family Bible. He would open a family Bible. He said he didn't preach a sermon. He didn't give a lecture. He just found a portion of Scripture and read a portion of the Bible to them, usually a psalm. At the end of his Bible reading, he would say, now let's pray. And he would pray that portion of Scripture for that family. And he would pray around the table, and he would pray by name for every person under that roof for God to work in their heart. And when he said amen, he would slide the family Bible across the table to the head of household, look them in the eye, and say, what I have just done with your family, you should be doing with your family. And he instituted what he called at the time family altars. That's a term that's rarely used anymore because it's rarely done anymore. But he established families just praying and reading the Bible together. You know what happened? In 6 weeks, revival broke out in their community. I'm talking about a heavenly visitation. So many people getting saved and baptized, they could not get them in the church building. A radical change came to the whole community. And you know where it started? Not when the pastor preached a better sermon, but when in their homes, people got serious about the Word of God. Would you bow your head with me tonight? I'm going to ask you for a couple commitments. Let's start here. How many of you know you're saved and you're glad about it? Would you raise your hand? Yeah. Would you just thank God for that right now? Just take a second, lower your hands, but just take a second and thank the Lord for saving you. May I ask, I must ask this question, is there anybody here tonight that would say, "Preacher, I have never been saved. I have never invited the Lord Jesus Christ into my life to be my Savior. I have never repented of my sin and believed on Jesus, but I know I need to do that. I need new life. I need to be born again. You're talking to me. God's talking to me. Pray for me, preacher. I'm not sure I'm saved." I want you to raise your hand just long enough for me to see it. And then you can take it back down and say, "Pray for me, preacher. I need Jesus. I need Christ." Anyone at all? I'm looking very carefully. Pray for me. Hold it high if that's you. You say, "That's me. Pray for me." If you just raised your hand, would you look at me right now? Just look me in the eye. Nobody else is looking. I want to tell you something. God loves you. Would you look at me for a second? Jesus wants to save you. Do you want to be saved? Do you want to know Jesus as your Savior? You see this man right here? See this man right here with a Bible? Right here on the end. He wants you to know Jesus. Would you do this? Would you get up and just come over to him? Let him sit and show you from the Bible how you can be saved tonight? That's wonderful, son. God bless you. Anybody else? You say, I want to settle this. I want to know I'm saved. I don't want to leave with any doubt about it. I want to know I've been born again. All right, then the best I can tell, I'm speaking to a bunch of believers. So let's get down to business. Let's start with ourselves. First of all, how many of us would say, "Preacher, I'm not doing what I'll do with the Bible myself. Let's forget family for a second. I need to give more attention to the Word. Pray for me." Would you raise your hand with mine right now? I want you to tell the Lord that right now. Just ask the Lord, "Lord, forgive me. Him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. Lord, forgive me of neglecting the Word." Would you commit yourself to it right now? Go ahead and set you a time and place. When are you going to start? Tonight before you go to bed? Let's get down to business about it. Now, I want to speak to all the head of household for just a minute. That may be husband, father. It may not be. It may be a godly lady in this room. How many head of household would say, "Preacher, we need to do a better job in our home of just bringing God into everyday life, talking about the Word and spiritual things. And if God will help me, I want wisdom, but I want to initiate that. I want our home to be a more spiritual home. And I want to bring God's Word into it as I ought to. Pray God will show me how." Would you raise your hand with mine right now all over this room? You say, "That's me." Men and women, God bless you. Ask the Lord to help you that right now. Just pray right now, "Lord, give me wisdom. How can we begin?" And I'm going to ask you to do something. Not in this room. I'm going to pray for you in just a moment. But when you get home tonight, before you go to bed, or perhaps in the morning, over breakfast, before you come, I'm going to ask you to take the time to talk with your family a little bit about this. You may read a verse. You may pray together. You may just share with them what God's doing in your heart, what needs to be done differently. Let's do something with what we've heard. Father, make us more than hearers. Make us better hearers, but make us more than hearers. Bring the Word of God into our lives and families and help us to do with the Word what we ought to do. And I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Can I say this, and the preacher will come? The Puritans used to teach dads when they